Welcome to Sense and Sustainability, your podcast channel for sustainable procurement. We hope you like what you hear. Please go to www.iso2400.org for more information, learning resources, tools, and much more.
Hello, this is Sense and Sustainability, your podcast for sustainable procurement. I'm Sean McCarthy, Director of Action Sustainability Community Interest Company, and it's my pleasure to introduce today Innes Christensen as part one of two of a series of podcasts with him when we're in conversation about sustainability and sport.
Hi there. Yeah, very excited to be on the podcast with you today.
Okay, thank you. And Innes, to kick off, can you just talk to us a little bit about your background and how you became involved in sustainability?
Yeah, so getting involved in sustainability really kind of started in my university days, being involved doing my sports management course at Edinburgh University. We started to really focus on actually putting on world sports events, putting on events on our own, managing the project, and really getting an understanding of what it would actually be like to put on something like a World Cup final, things like that. And in this process, we developed our own mini event. And within that, we had to manage all of the aspects of, you know, ticketing, waste, suppliers, everything for the whole day. And it was this that was kind of a tipping point for me to kind of really understand that when you're actually doing stuff in real life, you understand how the supply chain is so varied and how it all comes from different areas and the complexities around putting this on. And not only that, you start to understand, you know, the amount of waste that you're producing from this one event is actually quite substantial when you kind of think about it. And so it was kind of at this point where I started thinking, well, you know, how, you know, all this waste is coming from this one event, you know, what about all the other events in this field, then all the events across all the sports and then all across the world? So for that, it was kind of quite kind of an eye-opening moment for me and just for this industry at the moment. That's kind of the starting point for me, and kind of, you know, it was that kind of seed that I just couldn't really shake from then on. So it was ever since that kind of moment, I started to get really interested in sustainability.
Yeah, this is a fascinating link because we didn't know until we met quite recently that I chaired something called the Commission for Sustainable London 2012, which was an oversight and strategic assurance body for the London Olympics. And that went on for 8 years. You know, it started from the point that that London won the bid in 2005, I think it was, all the way through the construction of the permanent venues. But then into, as you say, the event itself, and the challenges are amazing. And you picked up on waste, and the objective for London 2012, or one of the many objectives for London 2012, was to be the first zero waste Olympic Games, zero to landfill. I was fascinated by the forensic detail that the team went into to make sure that everything that came to the site was recyclable, reusable in some way, because that's where it starts, what comes in. And then thankfully we had sponsorship from Coca-Cola to provide all of the bins for the event and took over an entire materials recycling facility for the 6 weeks of the games. So you could actually trace what was going on through that process. And zero to landfill was achieved, but they did burn quite a lot of stuff. So the last bastion was incineration rather than landfill, but it was all about every piece of packaging that came into the site. And we did things like an arrangement was made with a company called Vegware in Scotland that made compostable food packaging, which was quite new at the time. And, you know, we're talking a long time ago now, more than 10 years ago when the games were staged. And that really made that company, you know, they really arrived on the map because they could provide compostable packaging for food, because you can't recycle packaging that's been contaminated with food waste. And it was absolutely fascinating. So yeah, the whole sport and events management sector really needs to step up.
100%. I mean, that's an incredibly cool project to kind of be a part of. And I think 2012 at the time was, well, I guess sustainable innovation was getting there, but it wasn't all the way there. So I can imagine it was, you know, difficult. Like you said, that company Vegware was probably one of the only companies kind of doing it at that point. So it's kind of interesting that there's a lot of opportunities for businesses and companies to kind of innovate to support kind of areas that haven't kind of transitioned to that sustainability at some point. Yeah, I mean, it must have been a real challenge with the innovations at the time to, you know, put on the way that you guys wanted to do it, basically.
Yeah, there were many challenges, and I won't hold your line, Mike, by going through too much of them. But yeah, you're right. In terms of innovation, one of the interesting things for me was to use the purchasing power of a major event like the Olympics. And you mentioned the FIFA World Cup and the Super Bowl and all of those really big high profile events around the world. Suppliers want to be part of it, you know, not just for the profit and for the revenue, but also for the prestige of being involved in an event of this type. And what we found, because there was such a focus on London 2012, suppliers wanted to be associated with that sustainability agenda. And we were able to do some amazing things. I mean, another one was PVC, where you use a lot of PVC in temporary venues on any major games. And PVC, potentially the manufacture, use and disposal of PVC, has some carcinogenic elements to it. And they're called phthalates. And what we did was we put out a challenge to the industry very early to say what we want is a phthalate-free PVC. And an Italian company develops that product on the back of the tender for the Olympics. They won. I'm sure they didn't make any money out of that because they wouldn't have recovered their R&D cost. But now the world has a safer and more sustainable form of PVC. You know, so we actually moved markets. Another really nice example was a company called PaveGen, which, if I remember rightly, came out of some research at Coventry University. And what they did was they pioneered energy from feet. You know, you have them on dance floors now. Coldplay make a big thing of having these, you know, everybody jumps up and down, they generate some electricity. But again, if we're going back to 2009, 10, around about then, it was a whole new thing. And what we did was we were able to, there were two entrances to the Olympic Park, one from Stratford and the other one from West Ham. West Ham was a bit of a longer walk along the Greenway. And there was a bridge across the river. And what we did was we installed these PaveGen generators in the bridge, which generated just about enough electricity to, you know, to light it up at night, to provide some illumination. So, and just made a big thing. You know, this is, you know, as you're walking across this bridge, you're generating electricity. And once again, that organization was able to showcase that. You know, we supplied, you know, energy from feet to the London Olympics. It wasn't massive, but it was enough to actually get that thinking going. And we know now that, you know, things like rock concerts and that type of thing, these, you know, these applications are quite popular and should be used more, to be perfectly honest. So there's much, much more to go. So yeah, the whole event sector is really moving on. And, you know, we're seeing, as I say, London 2012 was a long time ago now. It was best practice at the time. I hate to think it's still best practice because there's much, much more going on in this space.
So thank you very much. I do hope you enjoyed the conversation with Innes. As you probably gathered from this podcast, we both have an interest and experience of sustainability in major sport events. I do hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast on Sense and Sustainability. Please listen out for more episodes. For more information, learning resources, tools, and much more content on sustainable procurement, go to www.iso2400.org.